The idea is that there are strong and weak violations. No languages can do the other ones we saw. Some languages can do this, which is why they don't sound so bad in English, because it's permissible under UG. Okay? Now, what's the research look like? When Maita Harjono did research with these kinds of constructions with strong and weak violations, and this is just one example. Over in the right-hand column, you see English native speakers. You see 94% of the time they reject the strong violations, right? That's what they would do. And the weak violations, much lower, 79%. So another 21% are going, eh, okay, or maybe they're vacillating, even the same person's vacillating on different sentences. What's interesting is look at Italian, who also has WH movement like English. 89% of the time, strong violation, it says, uh-uh, just like the English speakers. But notice 61% of the time with that trace violations, which are possible in Italian, aren't possible in English. I mean, aren't possible in English. They reject them more than the English speakers do. Indonesian and Chinese speakers are interesting cases here because Chinese does not have WH movement like English. Chinese does not move those WH words around in a sentence. So you say, the dog saw who, the dog bit who? That's the only way you can say that in Chinese. There's no who did the dog bite, okay? So the Chinese speakers pattern right after the English speakers. The strong violations, they reject a heck of a lot more than the weak violations. So how do they know that? How do they know the difference between strong and weak violations? Indonesian speakers have very simple WH movement, but none of the other kinds of WH movements that we have in English or Italian. And they're patterning the same way. Strong violations are rejected much more frequently than the weak violations. How'd they come to know that? Here's a really nifty